those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the Blogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
And?
Our opinions are valid.
In the excitement of the election, election season.
Election time.
Woo!
Who doesn't love elections?
As Andy Cohen would say, mazel.
Mazel.
Mm-hmm. As many of the other housewives would say, holler.
Holler.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a street term, which we learned from.
Yeah, the house. What's her
housewives?
Face? Housewives. Oh, one of the new ones from New York. Oh, I've already forgotten all of them. I'm sorry, ladies. You're all totally already.
She informed us that the word holler is kind of a street slang term from the street.
The street.
That people from the street.
So like the Upper West
street
Side or what?
Urchins. I'm not really sure what she meant. I don't know.
What is her name? Oh, I kind of liked her, too.
Oh, is she blonde? Was she the one without legs?
No. No.
Okay.
I'm getting a deja vu.
Yeah. Did we talk about this before?
I feel like maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
Who knows?
Holler, mazel, election. So in the excitement, we did not do our episode last week.
We're sorry. But the reason we didn't do it is also because we were a crack research team at theblogulator.com.
Right.
Is, standing by in the back room, just crunching numbers, 24/7.
Right.
You kind of have three shifts.
Crunching numbers and, like, looking at statistics and, like, making graphs.
Right. And they actually unearthed something that a lot of people on Twitter on election night were hoping for, and that was a new episode of The Newsroom, or at least a script, to find out what would Will McAvoy think of the election.
Yeah, so our crack team, through statistical analysis, we were actually able to uncover a hypothesized...
A script set
that doesn't exist.
That Aaron Sorkin may or may not have been working on. We can neither confirm nor deny.
Except that he wasn't working on it, but maybe he would have.
Right, which is why we cannot confirm nor deny.
Wait, what?
We cannot confirm. Well, let's just say we cannot confirm it.
We definitely can't confirm.
We cannot confirm it, but this is... So, I don't know.
How did statistics do it?
Crack research.
Crack research, like a line graph?
It was statistical analysis done through crack research.
Do you mean like crack cocaine?
No.
Speaking of crack cocaine, there's a show on television right now.
Oh, no.
A reality show about Whitney Houston, the late Whitney Houston's
That's
daughter,
so horrible.
And her grandma.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't think Bobby Brown is involved. I know, Nico.
Nico,
that was our dog. She's pretty upset too because that was dog. Yeah, she's like, maybe let her rest in peace for like a little while?
What's it called? The Browns: Moving On, something like
or
that.
I thought it was like
Life Without Whitney. Or
no, it's not directly.
It's not
Whitney.
That.
On Our Own. That's what
on
it's
our
called.
On Our Own.
On Our Own.
The Browns.
And it's Bobby,
it's
Christine, and the grandma. I think.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
You mean what's her face? She's actually famous.
Whitney Houston's mom.
Yeah, Cicely Houston.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
I don't, or Bobby's, or her other grandma.
I don't
remember who, but I don't think that
either
Bobby.
Way, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. But so is that what you mean by crack research?
No, I meant it in the sense of excellent research.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah. It's an episode of The Newsroom. I don't think it's been produced yet, but it's called Post-Election Day Blues.
Okay. Episode 10.5.
Yeah, I think Sorkin intends it as kind of a bridge between the first and second seasons.
Yeah. Is it a full episode or is it a mini-sode?
You know, I would say it's kind of a working draft because there are some sections that seem to be a little underdeveloped, a little nonsensical, I guess you would say.
Sure.
A little bit, maybe, kind of reheated Sorkinisms.
Yeah. So should we read it?
Yeah, why don't we read it? Do you want to just play all the female parts and I'll play all the male parts? Or?
Sure. That sounds good.
Okay. So it starts in an interior dark apartment. The alarm is beeping. At first, let's take this break to just play start the
should we roll song. The credits?
Let's roll the credits. And we can kind of set the scene as we roll the credits.
Okay, so. Roll them.
Okay. Interior, dark apartments. The alarm is beeping and Will McAvoy is just waking up from a wicked hangover.
Ugh.
He slams the alarm and suddenly there is a flash of white, which indicates he is trying to piece together the events of last night via a flashback to last night's post-election party with the gang, which is Mackenzie McHale, Jim, Maggie, Don, Neil Sloan, and Sam Watterson wearing a bow tie, which apparently Sorkin doesn't even remember the character's name. but we all know that Sorkin loves gimmicky framing devices.
Why would he say that about himself?
I don't know why he would say that.
That makes me think that maybe this is not his script.
Well, maybe this I don't know. Is a clever, I trust my research team.
A clever copy, yeah.
I trust my research team.
Yeah.
So, Will. Okay, this is Will. Mackenzie! Mac! Are you here? God damn it, I have the worst headache and it's probably caused by those tea partiers last night. Mackenzie emerges from under the sheets next to him. She's been with him the whole time.
Relax, Will. You told those guys off in an amazingly poetic fashion.
Just get me an aspirin.
Flash to white again. We cut back to the newsroom itself from the night before, where Will is preparing his closing remarks on Newsnight. Is that the name of their show?
It is.
Huh.
I'll be back after the commercial break with my closing statements.
Neil approaches Mackenzie's area, looks at Mackenzie. Neil.
Do you think we could get my story about the post-Hurricane Sandy Bigfoot sighting in Williamsburg in tomorrow night's broadcast?
Mackenzie, rolling her eyes a bit. That would really be something, Neil. That would really be something.
Will looking over from his desk. Neil, get out of here. This isn't TV camp. It's not important that everyone gets to play.
Don approaches. I think it's significant that by the way, the dog fighting in the background, that was written into the script.
It was, I don't...
Yeah, he wanted there to be dog fighting and dog, like, two small dogs.
Strange dogs.
Just kind of, like, play fighting with each other and growling in the background.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
It's pretty
weird. I think it represents the tea party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we have to interrupt, too, because one of our dogs is a tea partier, and she doesn't really love all this.
She is. She voted for Romney, fun. And she's been kind of upset.
She voted for Romney, even though he was kind of
not really on her side.
Yeah.
We tried to tell her that she's voting against her interests, but she didn't really care for that.
I hope we're not isolating.
She said that we're
listeners.
In the ivory tower. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway.
So Don says, "Listen, Will, you've got to include this footnote in your closing remarks about how Instagram is affecting the."
Will interrupts.
Insta what? How old are you? Listen, Don, when I was your age, when we had elections, we had a thing called tact in the voting line. Put your goddamn video phone or whatever you call it away and read a newspaper for one goddamn second. Mm. Then the control room overhears Will's speech and breaks into applause. And then...
Here's a note from Sorkin. It just says, fill in stuff here to get us to the beginning of the closing remarks.
Which are Will's closing remarks.
Okay. Now, and they had... There's actually two versions of this script. So
there
one
is
if Romney wins the election, and the other is if Obama wins the election.
And the thing about it is it seems like he kind of half-assed it and decided mm-hmm. that what he would do, rather than having two different versions of the script, he would just write one version that kind of went with either candidate and kind of closed the episode in a way that whatever happens, we're in a democracy and that's what matters.
Because whoever wins, we lose? Is it
kind of
like that?
No, it's kind of whoever wins, as long as we can all work together, everything will work out in the end. Also, relationship.
That's so effing inspirational.
I know.
Okay, so these are the Will closing remarks.
Yeah.
Romney wins version. So these would be his closing remarks.
But the twist is that these are his closing remarks.
No matter who wins.
So
that's a twist. So like it's not really about that. That's
right.
Not what it's really about.
Right. So
kind of like how Game of Thrones is not really about who becomes king.
Right. So
oh my God, that's what our election wasn't really.
I know. So here's what he says.
Yeah.
You've come to hear that the democratic process is alive and well. To hear that our nation is safe and secure because we have exercised our right to vote, that the people have been heard, and that we should accept with grace and humility the results of this election. I will tell you no such thing. I am not other people who would tell you such things.
Mm. Like CNN.
Mm-hmm. We had a 50-50 chance to do what was right. It seems more and more that we've come to expect less and less of each other.
Oh, that's great.
We value our wallets over communities. Mm-hmm. And profit increasingly marks what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
To look you in the face tonight and say democracy is alive, that our nation is safe, that the people have been heard would be a lie. Democracy is dead.
What?
Our nation is unsafe. The people, parodying corporations and the wealthiest of men, remain silent. When the first voice you hear is not your own, when the people's voice and the voice of the wealthy elite are one and the same, what can we do but hang our head in shame? That we would, each of us, place corporate welfare and religious dogmatism over the right to full expression of our humility only goes to show how far we've sloshed into the putrid stink that is what's left of our country.
What does that have to do with?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Leading the way to this epic failure of democracy, the Taxed Enough Already Party.
Oh, of course.
These bumbling fools of religious, social, and economic bigotry of the Tea Party, who have willfully thrown off the responsibilities demanded of them, do not have the capacity to understand that it was not their interests that have won, but the corporation.
While he's saying this on the air, I imagine Mackenzie is in the control room going, what's he doing?
Nervously.
What's he doing?
Right,
shuffle. What's he? He's not meant to say that.
Will,
I'm talking in your ear. What are you? Okay.
Right. So we flash to white, and it's back to the post-show after-party. So this is kind of an ambitious timeline that we're working
with. It is. It's a little different than most of the...
Right. So Will says, look at this Tea Party girl over there, so full of bullshit, and yet oddly attractive.
Are you going to talk to her then? No, really, don't let me stop you.
Please, Mac, I'll let her come to me.
Well, well, since we broke up for the third time, it seems you're a little out of practice with your flirting skills.
Oh, really? I'm the one out of practice with my flirting skills. Do you know how to flirt?
Yes.
Show me.
Awkwardly. Faux sexy voice.
Hi.
Will laughs condescendingly.
Suddenly, a rush of activity. Maggie, Neil, and Sloan just got done doing shots at the bar and stagger over to Will and Mac's table.
Maggie. I don't know who to choose.
Is this about Dawn and Jim? That was Neil.
Yes. Wait. Yes.
Suddenly, the producer from a rival news network that wants to run Neil's Bigfoot story swoops in and asks Neil for a word.
Neil.
Sorry, gang, gotta run. Someone who values my contribution to the news wants to talk with
me. Sorkin really likes caps. All caps.
He does. Neil walks away. Jim enters the scene.
Jim.
Another round for you all?
Maggie, frustrated with being unable to talk privately with Sloan. Which one's Sloan? Sloan. Accidentally yells in Jim's earshot. It's an important, life-changing decision. Sloan looks at Jim. Vote Jim.
Vote Jim.
Oh.
Get it? It's like...
I don't get that.
It's voting... It's election night, and he's not electing the president. He's electing which woman to...
Wait, is he or is she? I thought Maggie was choosing.
I don't know. Yeah, Maggie's choosing. Jim, oblivious... No, that section was sent to us by Chris Castro.
Oh, you mean...
I mean, nothing.
Okay.
Jim, oblivious to the fact that the gals...
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
Wait, can we go back and let's try it again.
Let's try that scene again, yeah.
Okay.
Another round for you all? Maggie, blah, 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 blah,
frustrated
blah, blah,
with being
blah,
able
blah,
to talk
blah,
privately
blah, blah,
with Sloan, accidentally yells in Jim's earshot, it's an important life-changing decision! Sloan looks at Jim. Vote, Jim.
Jim, oblivious to the fact that the gals are talking relationship stuff, not political stuff. But I already voted. Look at my I voted sticker.
Well,
oh, he's so stupid.
I know.
Don is so stupid, but hilarious because it's funny when you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to the news.
When you're a man.
Yeah. And this is the cost of doing business in the modern era. We must not forget that when the less of two evils wins, evil still remains.
Back to the bar. The attractive Tea Party woman, they're all attractive, aren't they?
Mm.
Approaches Will. Jim ended up getting a round of drinks for everybody.
And then this is the part where
there's another
kind of a note where there's a misunderstanding of sorts involving Jim and the relationship stuff. He accidentally punches Will, which is why Will has the headache at the beginning of the episode, which is brilliant. So, you know, Will thinks that, like, he got into this huge fight with the Tea Partiers, but actually it was just, you know, relationship problems.
Why would he end up punching Will?
It was an accident, because misunderstanding.
Oh, because he was going to punch the other guy?
Yeah.
Maggie's boyfriend or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Good, I don't like him.
Right. So, Will, back to his closing remarks. Tonight, we have come together to shout loudly our collective voice. We have displayed to all those watching that when we move together, we can change the direction of our nation.
Yeah, I thought he was just saying we can't.
I know, but he kind of... He's a loose cannon. It was really quite something to be part of a people collectively advancing the banner of democracy. Flashback to White, interior of Will's bedroom. So that's how I got the black eye. I guess it wasn't you who gave me the punch I so richly deserve.
Don't get cute with me, Will. I'm not other people.
You think?
Believe it or not, Will, not every person likes you.
Don't be ridiculous. Everybody likes me.
Mac, with a loving look in her eye. You're a good man, Will.
Will looks at her and smiles. He reaches for the TV remote, turns on the TV, and the voice of the newly elected president is talking. It is just muffled enough so we don't know whether Romney or Obama won, but his speech is very moving. We cut to Jim and Maggie in their hotel room together, snuggling. We see Neil going back to work at ACN.
Wait, Neil is the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Proudly holding the Bigfoot story he worked on in his briefcase.
Oh, wait, Neil's... Yeah.
We see Sloan studying a book titled Every Vote Counts, smiling and nodding. And we go back to Mac and Will listening to the tail end of the victory speech for a newly elected president.
Unknown president. More and more, we've come to expect less and less from each other. But, my fellow Americans, the streets of heaven are too crowded with angels. We've got to work on the streets of America. Can we do this? You bet.
Wow. Fade to black. Executive producer, Aaron Sorkin.
Wow. Ending credits and theme song. Okay, now that I understand the scene in the bar where Maggie is shouting and Sloan recovers and Jim is there,
yeah.
That's my favorite scene. Because I can actually see it playing out in my head.
Right, right. It makes a lot of sense.
Wait, so, but how did Mackenzie and Will end up in bed together?
They're always kind of on again, off again, I think.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're kind of the Sam and Diane of our generation.
But Sam and Diane... Okay.
They're not, because Sam and Diane are well-developed characters, and Kenzie and Will are not.
So there you have it. That's cool that we found that script.
Yeah. For real, actually, we should thank our friend Timothy, who wrote the decisive centerpiece speech for Will. And
that's a good speech.
And our friend Chris Castro, who's been on our show with us and is part of the Blogulator crew, for that excellent scene with Mac and, or excuse me, Don and Maggie and Sloan.
Yeah.
Talking to each other.
I look forward to hearing Timothy on an upcoming episode about Spooky Spook Spook or
American Horror Story. So that was that. Should we shift gears into real life TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you want to hear that, you know what you can do? You can write to your local senator.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Huh? If you want that script of the newsroom to actually be an episode of the newsroom, then I think that's how TV happens.
That's how democracy works.
I think that's how voting
democracy
happens,
too. Democracy is really all about
letter writing.
What TV shows you
want to
watch.
Whatever happened to, like, letter writing, right?
Now it's all about
the cell phones.
People just don't write letters out of these days. What's up with that?
Yeah. I want to have a crossover episode of the McLaughlin Group where Will McAvoy is one of the guests.
Oh, my God. Do you think that could happen? I mean, that could possibly happen.
Listeners, if you want this to happen, you're going to have to write letters to your local senator.
Yeah. Okay, I know that I hate the newsroom, but I actually kind of miss it, and I actually want it to come back soon. And the more I think about it, the more I really...
Love it?
Love it.
More than anything?
More than anything.
More than anything that you've ever experienced before?
Ever. Yeah.
more than...
And it's kind of, it's like, it's just, it's great.
Yeah.
Just tell
it's
it
actually,
like it is.
It's terrible. And
it's pretty bad.
Not telling anything like it is.
It's pretty bad, but it's just such well, it's just so, it's like so, it's so predictably
Sorkin-y. Okay, it's not that bad.
That it's just...
It's not that bad.
I know, Nico.
She loves The Newsroom.
No, she would hate The Newsroom.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Why? Well, maybe she would like it. Because he's just rogue enough.
Mm.
Will McAvoy. He's a real maverick.
Oh, our dog's talking. Nico, do you want to say something? I think that Will McAvoy is a real American patriot.
Yeah.
And I think he's awfully handsome.
Should we...
And I think he's right about women. Because we are silly.
Yeah.
Can you rub my belly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to go. Should we move on to our next topic? Dexter?
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Slice.
So we're watching... Season seven.
Season current, I call it.
Yeah, season seven of Dexter. And we checked
in. Is that season seven? Are you sure?
It is. It is. I know. It's crazy. And
are
we.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Did I say sure wrong?
How are you saying fine?
Sure.
How many episodes sure. had we watched when we.
Do I say camera stretch?
Okay. How many episodes did we watch the last time we checked in? Like two or three?
I think so.
So now we've watched like six.
Mm-hmm. And it's still good.
Yeah.
It's hanging in there.
Yeah.
It's hanging the F in there.
It is.
And, like, the mafia, the Russian mob is a part of it, and, like, there's some...
Yeah, and for some reason I don't...
Set up suicide.
That seemed like the Russian mafia stuff. It seemed like something I would not like, but it's been all right.
Yeah, I was not looking forward to that. Little.
And I really like, I mean, part of it is just I really like Jason Gedrick, who's one of the Russian mafia mm-hmm. helper guys or whatever. he's the guy who works at the strip club, you know?
Which, is he the older guy?
No, he's kind of a younger guy.
With the floppy hair?
Yeah.
Oh, you like him?
I like him as an actor.
His hair is so floppy.
He was in Luck, and he was on...
Luck is the one with all the dead horses?
Yeah. And he was on Murder One way back in the 90s.
What's Murder One?
It was a show that was like, it was a one season. It was kind of in the post-OJ world where there was one season devoted to one trial. And that was in the mid-90s. Mm. That was a really radical idea to be like that serialized of a primetime drama for one season.
That's interesting. Kind of.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And he was on it, and he was kind of the OJ character. Anyway.
Can you imagine a pre-OJ world?
I can't. And actually, this morning, I had spent, like, an hour Wikipedia-ing what OJ Simpson is up to these days. Because,
are you serious?
Because the Naked Gun was on.
What was I doing? So
you were sleeping.
The Naked
like
Gun was
in the morning.
On? Yeah, you woke up at 5:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and you spent an hour... Wikipediaing what O.J. Simpson is up to, but he can't find time to clean the bathroom. Am I right, ladies?
It's true.
But seriously, that's a lot of time spent.
Maybe not an hour.
So what is he
half
up to?
Hour. He's in jail.
That seems like information you could have gathered in less time than an hour.
Yeah.
Is there more?
Not really.
Hmm. Remember Tim Meadows?
Yeah. Like,
what's he doing these days?
Oh, probably enjoying retirement. And the occasional role on an SNL alum show. Hmm. We're talking about Dexter, though. Let's. So, what's the latest stuff that's going on in Dexter?
Do you like floppy hair guy?
I like him as an actor. I like that actor, Jason Goodrick. I like him. Yvonne Stravosky is kind of getting more important on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out she's a killer. And actually is kind of a deadly woman.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, we kind of knew she was a killer.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who said she's a deadly woman.
You definitely pegged her as, like, a deadly woman.
Yeah.
And
Candace
she...
DeLong. Oh, my gosh. Candace DeLong, Dexter crossover.
Candace DeLong would have a field day on Yvonne Stravosky.
Yeah.
Because
she loves to kill, and that's why she does it.
Enjoyed killing.
So the most recent episode that we watched had a really crazy twist ending that I apparently slept through.
Yeah. Yeah, it ended with, we thought that Dexter was going to kill her, like he does with all the killers.
Right.
But then he was like...
In a twist,
he was like... she was like, well, then just kill me now, Dexter. I don't care. And he was like, oh, okay. And then, like, instead of stabbing her, he, like, stabbed the plastic and, like, cut her loose. And then they did it on the table.
That's weird.
It was really creepy and also kind of sexy. Because she's hot and he's hot and they're attractive. Attractive people. It's true.
Hmm.
What?
That's weird.
It was an unnerving.
Okay, can we rewatch that ending tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can watch tonight's episode too if we want.
Yes, I'd like that.
And
then we should put that rest of the casserole in the fridge.
That's a good point.
Since we're talking about the plans that we're having for later tonight.
So that stuff is it's all right. I still think the heart of the season that's been, like, probably the best Dexter moments maybe of the series.
Mm.
The more I think about it, the more I really, really love Dexter and Deb and just, like, sussing out their brother-sister relationship. And, like, it's really well-developed, essentially about trust and like trust in a relationship and like they both are just playing it like gangbusters. The two of them, Michael C. Hall and Jennifer Carpenter, they're both just crushing it. They're both I was never a huge Jennifer Carpenter fan on the show.
He doesn't care for women.
I don't care for women. No, that's not true. I was never a huge Deb fan but I really like her this season. I really think she's a really strong character.
I never loved Deb either, but I like her now. Other characters that I didn't really care about at all in the past that I now care about include Angel.
Yeah, although last episode was kind of weird where it was like, I'm opening a restaurant.
I actually kind of liked that because we found out that Dexter's nanny is his sister.
Yeah, and we might have just missed that from last season.
Maybe, yeah. But also, like, I like seeing that was also him, like, he's getting frustrated because Deb, as a lieutenant, is not how...
Yeah, and also we need a little lightening up sometimes. So, and you might as well be like, we're in Miami, let's hang out at a restaurant.
I think that was really showing some, like, I actually like when we get peeks into his life.
Yeah,
because I think he's an interesting character.
The one that I am much more pleasantly surprised at liking genuinely is
LaGuardia. Yeah,
and like it's part
because
of it.
Because I forgot that she had that whole relationship with Dokes.
Yeah. So it's the fact that she found the blood slides means that she's starting to open up the Dokes Bay Harbor Butcher stuff from season two. And that's really, like, it's really interesting because she's really good at what she's doing and is not, like, gonna just put this away.
Mm-hmm.
She's not just gonna, like, be like, oh, it's just probably
I think we get to see her be a better, like, detective, a better cop, since she's not lieutenant anymore.
Right.
Maybe she, you know, and then Deb is kind of like, maybe she doesn't always get to be a good cop, because now she's having to be lieutenant. It's actually because of Dexter, and she wants to cover up.
Right.
Oh, it's fun to see Deb get more and more entangled in this.
Yeah. It's really nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel nervous for her.
Yeah.
That she's, like, getting more and more involved. And
I feel nervous. I also feel like the killers that Dexter has been going after this season are more dangerous.
Yeah.
Than in the past. Like, that serial killer who was, like, dressed like the bull.
Oh, yeah.
The maze.
He was scary.
I mean, Dexter eventually got him, but, like, he was a scary guy.
He was spooky.
And even though, like, you kind of know, it's kind of like watching a James Bond movie.
Right.
Starring Daniel Craig.
Which we watched today.
For example.
Skyfall.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Fine. Is that what it was called?
It was called Doctor Who.
Doctor Pussy?
No. It was called Skyfall. I almost said 2 tickets to Skyrim, please.
Oh my gosh.
I almost said it.
I would nap so hard through Skyrim the movie.
Oh my god.
IMAX theaters
Skyrim
only.
Movie.
Make that happen, Sorkin.
Ugh. Yeah. David Milch could work on that. He's working on the Heavy Rain script.
Yeah, but hasn't that been in a work in process for...
Yeah, he'll probably never finish that. Yeah. That'll probably never happen for real.
What about Skyrim, the television series?
It's called Game of Thrones. Hello.
Aww, snap.
Yeah.
What was I saying about Dexter? Slice?
Yeah, slice.
Oh, okay. So as much as you know, like, you know that Bond is going to get away.
Right.
You know that Dexter is going to get away. I still, like, there have been lots of moments this season where I felt nervous, like, about Dexter maybe not getting away.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think...
I feel nervous that the mob is going to catch up to him. This, like, these Russian dudes are really, really... The whole thing makes me nervous. And, like, that guy is, like, you need to do... Oh, and it makes me nervous that, like, Quinn is, like, a dirty cop.
Yeah.
Because is Quinn going to ruin it for everyone? Because if What's-His-Face gets out of jail...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's similar to Homeland in the sense that this season... They really didn't dick around getting to, like, the really meaty questions of what's going on in the show. Mm-hmm. Like, Homeland, we'll talk about Homeland when we can do a show with Chris sometime soon. But, you know, obviously in the second season, it's, without digging into spoilers there, they totally answered the question of what's next by making just, like, making things happen on the show that... Nobody could have predicted would happen that quickly. Bridget's just laughing at me. But same thing.
Today, Junior.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Same thing with Dexter, though, where obviously they started with the reveal of Dexter being a killer to Deb, and it's kind of spiraled from there. And it's been it's caused the season to continue to have that kind of momentum where you're saying about Dexter feeling like he's more in danger than usual this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not as sharp as he always is. And
yeah, like he's slipping a little bit.
Slipping, and yeah.
And then Deb is there to kind of help. Right. Maybe pick up some of those pieces.
Yep.
So it's all
but
quite...
But very reluctantly and very,
it's very exciting in a way that Dexter hasn't been in a long time.
Yeah, it really... Like, there hasn't been a season...
I feel
Dexter
like,
that's been this, like, every episode has felt at least like, I haven't felt like any huge groaner episodes, even though, like, last week's episode maybe had more, like, kind of boring parts. I haven't felt, like, compelled to fast forward through any characters'
scenes. Yeah, me neither.
So
I like that they, because they're talking about, like, the Bay Harbor Butcher is kind of coming back, and now LaGuardia is kind of figuring out, oh, the people that he's been killing were all people that were killers themselves. So she was looking at, like, who had gone missing recently, and she mentioned, like, the killers of with the girls in the barrels, which was from last season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. That's been kind of fun. If I were directing it, I would do some really fun flashback scenes.
That would be great.
When those killers were getting talked about.
That would be really helpful.
Yeah.
Flashback scenes. It's kind of like in black and white, like a...
Mm-hmm.
Like, the girls in the barrels flash to white.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Dexter working with the girls with the barrels. And,
yeah.
And, Julia Stiles, something, something, something.
Yeah. And I like that, like, Deb, like, was talking about, like, oh, like, she kind of put together, like, Lumen and that they were killing together.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, this season has been interesting enough that when they talk about what happened last season,
Lumen was actually the fifth season. We didn't watch.
Oh, there was a whole other season in between there?
Yeah.
Yowza.
Yeah.
Well, it actually makes me want to go back and watch the Lumen stuff again.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, I won't. Let's get that, be clear, but.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, do we have anything more specific to say about Dexter?
No, I think I would say it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I would give the season probably a B+.
Yeah.
Which is better than I would have given season 5 like a C.
I would give it a C-.
I would have given season 4 like a B- probably overall.
Yeah. I would
season
give
season 3 a C+. Season 2 a B+. So it's back to season 2 levels.
I would give season 2 an A. I thought that was a great season.
Yeah.
And season good. One. Seasons one and two get an A for me.
Yet to be, Dexter seasons always end, historically have ended with kind of a fever rush of craziness.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. And I think, I predict the next few episodes, if they follow suit, will be kind of wheel spinning mm-hmm. episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. We can deal with it.
But there's lots of stuff going on.
And I really, it's just a pleasure to spend Sunday night with Michael C. Hall.
Indeed.
It's just a pleasure.
It is a pleasure.
So.
Yeah. I like that they just, like, sent the baby away.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
It's good.
And I like that they just sent the kids away, too.
Yeah.
After, was that at the end of this fifth season?
They're just I'm not sure.
She'll live with the grandparents.
Yeah, we don't really care about the kids. Yeah.
And then, but the baby, why don't you go live with the grandparents?
Kind of an impediment. Yeah,
maybe this isn't really taking the plot where we wanted the plot to go, so she kind of just go away.
Yeah. It works.
I still miss What's-Her-Face, his wife.
Rita,
yeah.
Yeah.
No?
I don't really miss her.
Do you know what would be fun?
What?
If Dexter got killed, like, halfway through, like, soon. Like, if mm-hmm. Dexter actually does get killed. Mm-hmm. And then if the rest of it is, like, Dexter the ghost.
Mm.
And he becomes, like, the mentor to Deb, the way Harry had been for Dexter.
What if it was, like, Dexter the ghost hanging out with Harry the ghost?
Yeah, and the ghost of all the people he had killed.
Yeah.
And they all start haunting Deb. And then Deb goes crazy. And only Quinn believes her.
Yeah.
And then, and the only way to get the ghosts to rest is to do some kind of ritual. And it's obviously, like, a ritual that LaGuardia and Batista, that they know about because they're Latinos.
Right.
Right? So, like, so Day of the Dead.
They know about that.
And then, like, they would do some kind of ceremony. Yeah. I think it kind of writes itself.
Yeah. I just want to point out something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
On NPR, they were talking about a novel that's a sequel to Madame M. Butterfly. Is that what it's called? The opera? Madame Butterfly?
Yeah, Madame Butterfly is the opera.
Madame Butterfly.
M. Butterfly is a play that is very different.
Okay. So, Madame Butterfly, it's a sequel novel to Madame Butterfly, and they were talking about it.
I can't wait to read that, says no one.
And they were talking about it like it wasn't fan fiction. It's fan fiction.
What does this have to do with Dexter?
We were just talking about fan fiction, basically.
Oh, I was not talking about fan fiction. I was talking about an actual thing that I want to happen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And fan fiction is not actual.
Right, so you're saying that what you just proposed for plot developments for Dexter involving ghosts is actually going to happen.
That's actually my prediction.
That's your prediction.
That is my prediction.
You predict that that's just going to be ghosts everywhere.
Yeah. What?
I would probably shoot the TV if that happened.
No, we don't have a gun.
No, we don't. I would be very upset.
Yeah. Hey, Veterans Day.
That's true. Thanks, Fats.
Yeah. All right, well, I killed everything. The mood, So that about does it, unless you want to have any closing remarks for Dexter.
Nope. That's all I have to say about it.
It's still definitely in the B range. Like, it's been way better than it has in a while, but I still, like...
It's still not, like, an excellent show.
I still feel like it hasn't, like, seduced me back to where we were. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So even though, like, it is probably as good as the second season one was, I feel like... Dexter and I, in season two, we were still in our honeymoon.
You were in love.
Period. I was in love.
Right? You were head over heels.
And I was like, oh, what do I want to do if we have a choice of TV shows? Obviously, I want to watch more Dexter.
Right.
That's obviously what I want to do.
Right.
And even, like, in seasons 3 and 4, I was still like, oh, but, you know, you don't know him like I do, and he'll come around. And, like, I still really, really was on Dexter's side and Dexter the TV show, not the character.
Right.
And now I feel like I'm still kind of hurt.
Yeah.
By seasons 5, and apparently
there
was a 6th
season. Right, you
can't
let that
stuff
go.
So, and Jimmy Smits, all that stuff, remember?
Yeah,
I stuck with you through Jimmy Smits, and what did you give me?
You get
Lumen.
You got Lumen.
That's what I got.
And you totally missed Colin Hanks and Edward James Olmos.
I don't even. That seems fan fiction-y enough to me that the ghost thing might happen.
Yeah, that's true.
When you just say that.
Can I just say Colin Hanks?
Uh huh.
Just the words Colin Hanks bring up the idea of fan fiction to you.
Sort of.
Okay, that's fine.
I feel like he's the. Yeah.
Colin Hanks is the fan fiction of actors? Is that what you're trying to say?
I was going
to
say, yeah.
That makes no sense and perfect sense at the same time.
So anyway, what I'm trying to say is even though the season is good and I enjoy it while I'm watching it, I still don't ever feel like, oh, you know what I'm really excited about and I really want to watch right now? Dexter. Like, I still...
No, it's no Homeland.
I still don't feel the way I felt about it in seasons past, and I wonder if it'll win me over before the next season starts. Mm. Like, I wonder if by the end of the season, going into next season, if I'll ever feel that way again.
Probably going to be the last season.
Right, so I wonder if I'll ever get that feeling back.
Yeah.
Because we've lost that loving feeling.
Mm-hmm. Bring back that loving feeling. Totes.
Yeah.
What else should we talk about?
Mazel.
Real
Housewives of Beverly Hills.
No.
I have not seen any of the new season yet.
Is there a new season already?
Yeah.
Hmm. Is Camille involved?
I believe so.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've been watching Cheers, and we just saw the episode where Lilith's first episode ever.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have thought, based on just that episode, that she'd be a recurring character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's kind of interesting. I really, 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 really love Cheers the more I get into it. We're in season 4.
Yeah.
And you can watch Cheers, actually, on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to bit.ly/blogflix to check out your 2-week free membership trial.
bit.ly/blogflix.
Go there, sign up with Netflix through that link. Doing so will financially support independent netcasters like us. So thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Or as Will McAvoy would say,
fuck you, assholes. I don't know.
Would he say that?
No.
Something something Twitter.
Something something. I don't understand email.
I thought it was Mackenzie who didn't understand email.
Oh, yeah. It's true. She's so stupid. It's a good thing men work with her.
I know.
So we were also going to talk about Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Nashville's on.
Nashville. We've watched intermittently as it's gone on, and...
Intermittently. We saw the first episode, and I liked it a lot.
Mm.
We saw the fourth episode.
Mm.
We've been recording it on our recording device on our television.
Mm-hmm.
What does one call that?
DVR.
DVR.
Yep.
And yet we just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch them. But I fully plan to.
I would like to as well.
Our friend Carrie is a fan, is that right?
Yeah, she's from Nashville.
Oh.
So she has
I mean bloggy later friend.
Yeah.
Bloggy later friend.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she's been all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
All the it's shot in Nashville, which I think is cool. I love
Tammy Taylor.
Yeah,
I don't hate Hayden Panettiere as much as I thought I would, because I kind of hate her.
Let me list.
She's got small little weird hands.
I've never noticed her hands before, but I'll look this time.
They're like really small.
Hmm. Interesting.
Small, tiny little baby hands. Tiny little baby hands.
Here are the things that I like about Nashville in order.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. You don't. That I like about it.
Okay.
One, musical interludes that kind of mender, which are
my favorite part.
They're kind of mendering.
Meandering.
Yeah.
Is how that word is pronounced?
Okay.
Sure. Minder. Like the Mindy Project?
Just stop it.
Okay.
Kind of meandering musical interludes a la Tremé, which I love. I've been watching the third season of Tremé not in full episodes, but just in, 10-minute bursts of...
Apparently you do a lot of things while I'm asleep still.
Apparently I do.
Wow.
So I don't know exactly what's going on, but I do know that I really, really like Treme a lot. I think even more than I ever have in those short bursts. And that's because I really like this style of show that just kind of is there, you're in Nashville, and it's a great location, and here's a musical interlude. But then also, like, I'm not a huge fan of the kind of when the show starts getting into, like, the plot. So maybe that's kind of a problem for the show, maybe.
I like the plot fine. It's kind of like a soap opera.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And that's where I feel like it kind of follows, like, a very typical, like, torn from the pages, the playbook of ABC nighttime soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I would be really interested in a show that was only about the music industry and, like, only about Tammy Taylor. Sorry, whatever her name is.
Doesn't matter.
On the show. Only about Tammy Taylor and, like, her trying to get her musical career going.
And not about, like, her husband's weird political stuff. Right, and, like, his maybe affair.
Yeah.
And Hayden's mom's drug problem.
Right.
And her...
I'm okay. I'm actually okay with Hayden's mom's drug problem.
Okay.
But if it was... the more I talk about it, the more I feel pretty ambivalent about
it. I really like it because it's a scripted version of the crap I watch on Bravo.
Yeah.
But it's, like, way
makes
better.
Yeah.
Because there are writers doing it.
And there are musical interludes.
Right. So what I'm remembering is that stuff that gets written by writers and acted by actors is
which on reality shows is not
better
written, it's
than,
real.
Right.
It's just reality.
But you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's better.
I do.
So, Nashville, I'm going to keep watching you.
Yeah, well, I'll stick
around. I feel like it'd be a good Saturday
too.
Morning marathon kind of thing.
Definitely. It's the kind of show you don't really have to pay much attention to, which is also... I kind of like that about it.
Yeah, I like that we kind of skipped from episode 1 to episode 4 and we kind of knew.
Really didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
No.
Except my prediction initially from the pilot didn't pan out, which I was angry about. So I predicted, so in the pilot, Tammy Taylor's going to have to cancel her tour because ticket sales are too low.
Right.
Or they said she can tour with Hayden.
Yeah.
Who would be the headliner, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
They said double headliners, but...
Right.
Tammy would open. And I thought, oh, she's going to have to do it. And that they would go on tour together and that would be really fun. Or I thought there would be a competing tour with the...
With the young...
That young blonde thing.
Yeah, little pretty
They're
thing.
They're all blonde, but she's, like, especially blonde.
She's real pretty. Real blonde.
Yeah, super blonde, super pretty. And she talks like this, kind of. You know what I mean. But,
yeah.
And she's got a voice of an angel. Or a meadowlark.
Right. What?
I don't know.
Sure.
Shut up.
I believe you.
It's country talk.
Country talk? Meadowlark?
It's
you're from Texas.
Business of being... So, what was I saying? So that they were going to go on, like, a competing tour.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, it didn't happen. They're not going on tour at all. And
right.
That, I was kind of disappointed to see that jumping into episode 4. But, whatevs.
What else? Yeah.
So she's supposed to be like Faith Hill, kind of.
I think so. And Hayden Panettiere is kind of a
Taylor Swift.
Kind of a Taylor Swift. Except I hope Taylor Swift isn't that much of a, you know what, in
bitch.
Real life.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Taylor Swift is a sweetheart.
She's a total sweetheart who's always getting her heart broken by mean boys.
Boys are mean. They'll break your heart forever.
They sure will.
And ever and ever and ever. And you'll never be happy.
Ever.
Ever.
That's what we learned from Taylor Swift.
Except democracy.
Except for democracy.
Right. Because do you think Mackenzie's happy?
Mackenzie McHale?
Yeah.
Well, of course she is.
She is?
She's got a great man who's watching over her career.
Who? Sam Waterston with the bow tie?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Sam Waterston. I wish...
Yeah.
I wish he was
my grandpa.
In more things.
Oh, yeah, me too. That's what I meant. In more things.
He's your grandpa. We should recast our our grandparents every few years.
Yeah. Keep them on their toes. Make them work harder. I feel like we're starting to meander our own selves.
We are. We are.
Or minder.
Shut up. You can pronounce it that way.
Your cheating heart will make you weep. No?
Yeah.
You cry and cry.
Should we wrap this
Stand
thing up?
Stand by your man. Do, 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 do. I'm trying to insert musical interludes. Do, do,
do. It's what editing is for.
Bloggy later radio.
Bloggy.
Says goodbye to you. Thanks for listening to us talk.
And we'll see you next week.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I think I love you more now than I ever have before.
We should always sing the ending of our song. Now it's time to say goodbye to all our friends and neighbors. But... next week you'll have Chris and Jessica to listen to.
Well,
maybe something about some other shows. Chris and I will talk about Cinemax's Hunted. Which is also pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Our opinions
are valid. You'll be the melody, I'll be the harmony.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.